No Block Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
All right, everybody. Don't know what happened because usually it says blog, welcome to Blog Talk or whatever. So I just hit the button. But for the people listening, so you're here, you're at WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo. Don't forget, you can always check out Lucha Central to check out all the awesome shows that they have on there. It's our second show. Okay, so we're ready to roll. But on the line with me right now, I'm gonna talk a little bit about why she's going to be on with us for hopefully the whole show, because we don't know how long we're going to go, because you know me. Once I get to talking, we get to moving. But on the line with us right now, hopefully she's still here because I'm running the board over here, is Rachel Ann. Rachel, are you with me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you great, Bobby. I'm here.
It's beautiful. So real quick for the people that are listening to us, I'll give a quick introduction. You know, it's funny because one person who knows what he's talking about is Kevin Kleinrock. And he's like, you know, the show is great, but it's always good, you know, for the demographic that you have, you know, 18 to 40 old males or whatever. You know, we get one of those, a co-host in there that's a female. It's always good, you know, for the show. But, you know, we need to have somebody who knows what they're talking about and all that. So the first person I thought of was, there was a few people who wanted to come on the show, but I said, look, let me get Rachel Ann on first, because she knows what she's talking about. You know, she's been there. So to me, somebody who's actually been in the sport, which is Muay Thai or kickboxing or whatever you want to call it, that legitimizes, you know, somebody who knows what they're talking about. So real quick, Rachel Ann, so that people could get to know who you are. You know, on my other show, I talked a lot. I've had Gerson on probably, I would say maybe 3 or 4 times on my other show. When we had a live studio, I even had him in there. So real quick for the people listening to us at WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo, talk a little bit about that, because I know you've had a few Muay Thai fights. I talked to Gerson and he says, you know, this girl has heart. He goes, she, you know, it takes a lot to get up in that ring and throw punches and kicks and everything like that. So real quick for the people listening to us, tell us a little bit about that. First of all, why you decided to get into Muay Thai. And second of all, what brought you to what used to be Shoot the Bucks, which is now Fight Solutions with Gerson.
Yep. Well, first of all, Fabi, I want to thank you for, you know, considering me to, you know, help you co-host this new podcast. It definitely, you know, getting a female in is definitely important, you know, for the different perspective. So, anywho, back to how I started. I have 3 kids, and when I enrolled my sons in a Muay Thai gym back about 4 years ago, so my littlest was 3, and my oldest at the time was 6, and so I enrolled them in Muay Thai class, and it was actually in a Muay Thai, small little Muay Thai gym in Wilmington called Al Martinez Kickboxing, and every time after their class, I seen a bunch of adults coming in, and at first, as a mother of 3, I kind of felt like, oh, it's kind of crazy if I join, but then I started, after a couple classes, and I realized all the adults come in, I was like, you know what, I'm going to try it, you know, because growing up in Wilmington, you know, I've had my practice.
Fair share.
And, yeah, you know, so I was like, you know what, it'd be nice to see, well, you know, what I'm working with, so plus get a workout in and whatnot, and as soon as I joined, I fell in love with it, and I told my coach at the time, like, I'm definitely, like, train me to compete, because you know, I'm very competitive in nature, so I was already like, I want to compete just for fun, you know, so like just something to push me to get better. So I actually moved fairly short after I started that, probably 3 months into my training. I moved to Long Beach, and I actually moved a block up from my gym now, which is Fight Solutions. And at the time, they were Shoot Bucks. So obviously, Shoot Bucks has great yeah. legacy in the fight game, so I was super excited to you know, go and check them out.
Yeah, that's a big name.
Yeah, so I took me and my kids over there, and we began training, and that was back in 2017, so I've been training with them since then. And, yeah, my boys have been training the same amount of time. As soon as I started with Gerson, about 9 months later, I began competing with his fight team, and now I'm 7 fights in, and can't wait to get back to training.
Let me tell you something. You know, Luis Vargas, who's been with me since my tap out days, you know, we've trained together jiu-jitsu and all, and he's always been going when he was Shoot the Box and training with Gerson, and we like to refer to him as the sergeant, because when I first got introduced to Gerson, you know, he Luis told me, he goes, hey, man, this guy can go. He goes, he reminds me of those sergeants. You know those sergeants that are in the Marines and they take off running and you'll be dead and the sergeant just keeps going and going. He goes, that's Gerson. So when I saw him, you know, he's like, what's the word I'm looking for? Practices what he preaches. I mean, that dude is in shape. He's serious. You know, that's one guy who really, if I was, you know, deciding to be a Muay Thai fighter or whatever, that's somebody that I would go to. Now, real quick before we get into, because we got a guest coming up at 7:15, real quick, yep, for the people listening to us, let me just let you know that at about the 15-minute mark, we got Joey Chaos coming on, going to talk a little bit about the XPW days, which is where I met Kevin Kleinrock. And then at about the 45-minute mark, we're going to have Ed Sorres, the CEO of LFA. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about opening back up and, you know, training, fighting with no crowd or whatever. But this is the thing that gets me about Muay Thai. You know, you get these guys that come over from Thailand or whatever, and they can have 100 fights. You know, like 100 fights is nothing to them. And is that just, real quick before we get into talking to Joey, is that just because for them, it's a lifestyle? I mean, if you want to become a Muay Thai fighter, you go to a place and you live there as early as maybe, 8 years old, right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I actually went to Thailand for my honeymoon last year. Uh-huh. Yeah, so we trained out there for about a week, and the lifestyle, you know, we went to a couple fights out there, and they're fighting for dinner, you know, like literally dinner time, they fight. That's how they get so many fights in. They fight, if they're not injured, they'll fight the next week, you know, so it's very typical, you know, as opposed to like the way it's done over here, especially in California, you know, you could do one fight in 30 days and, you know, there's all these different rules. And so the lifestyle there definitely is different. So they allow them to fight all the time, which means when they come over here to compete, it's really, really challenging.
It's a different level. It's a whole different level, because I've seen him. Matter of fact, I was watching Lion fight not too long ago, and they brought somebody from Thailand and they put him up against an American fighter. Uh-huh. And I mean, the American fighter threw a like a shin kick or whatever.
Yeah.
And when he landed it, he hurt himself. I mean, that's how strong their legs are.
From
I don't know, from kicking trees or whatever they do over there. So it's a whole different level. I mean, it's amazing. And let me tell you, you know, I didn't know, how can I put this? I didn't really believe in Muay Thai that much. I thought, man, if you're going to be an MMA fighter, you got to have your boxing, you got to have your wrestling, and you got to have your jiu-jitsu to submit somebody. So Luis said, dude, let Gerson kick you, even holding the pad, and you'll see what I'm talking about. So holding the pad, he threw a kick. Oh, my God. I thought it was going to, I mean, that thing came in like a baseball bat. You know, through the pad. So ever since then, I was a believer. I was like, dude, that
is... Oh, yeah, it's always a show when Gerson demonstrates. Everyone sits around and looks and sees who he's going to do it on. That's always the question.
He doesn't mess around. And the funny thing is, well, not funny, but, you know, people from Brazil, they announced their R's like an H. So he was talking, and he was like, oh, we do this on the regular, and we're spahing. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, Luis is like, no, that's how they talk, you know, or whatever. So, anyways, it's good to have you on. You know, it's good that you're going to be able to hang with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we could talk.
Yeah, I'm excited.
When we get to Ed, we'll talk a little bit about LFA and, you know, from somebody who's been in there to compete. I say this all the time. I don't care if you win or lose. When you're just to get in that cage or get in that ring and throw blows or throw kicks and even take a Muay Thai kick or whatever, it takes a lot of guts. And a lot of people don't see that. They see the finished product. They don't see the training that it takes and the weight cuts and the contract signing. So that's why here we try to bring a little bit of that to the people. Yeah. So real quick, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to get Joey Chaos in. But before we do that, hang on the line, Rachel. First of all, we're going to see what Denise Delgado has to say about the other shows on Lucha Central.
Hey everyone, it's Denise Salcedo here in Lucha Central, with a look at all of the great shows available this week on the Lucha Central Podcast Network. Monday, it's a brand new mass cast with Dos Hermanos Lucha. The brothers are back with their latest advice on how to build the ultimate Lucha Libre mask collection, including what Facebook groups can really help you up your game. Tuesday, it's Mass, Mats, and Mayhem, the show that brings you back into and behind the scenes of Lucha Underground. This week on the show, more behind-the-scenes secrets are revealed from two of the show's Day 1 luchadores. Plus, the gang discusses the current success of former Lucha Underground stars Karrion Kross and El Hijo del Fantasma, and takes a look back at Season 1, Episode 6. Plus, this Friday, look for a bonus episode of the MMM show focused on Pride Month, including a special interview with former Lucha Underground and current AEW star Sunny Kiss. Also on Tuesday, brand new series Wrestle Boss with Favi Chulo debuts on its regular night with a live call-in show covering pro wrestling and MMA from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Pacific. Then, each Wednesday, the show will be available for download on podcast platforms. The first episode is up now and features interviews with former CMLL, Ring of Honor, and Lucha Underground star Ricky Reyes, Bellator fighter Rick Hahn, and Combate America SVP Mike Aframowitz. This week's guests will include former XPW and Wrestling Society X star and current owner and operator of the Santino Brothers Wrestling Academy, Joey Chaos. With SPW graduates in nearly every major promotion at this point, there is a lot to talk about. Don't miss WrestleBoss Live on Tuesday night and in podcast format on Wednesday. We've also got more live recordings for you on Wednesday as Spanish series La Mesa de los Margaros brings you their unique style of news and comedy along with special guests. Watch as they record their episode on Facebook Live and then download the episode Thursdays. Also on Thursday, it's Straight Out of the Bodega with Papo Esco with special guests, PWR Training Academy graduate and AEW star Jungle Boy Jack Perry. Papo and Gabe talk with Jack about his training at the academy, his time in the NorCal indie scene, and his signing with AEW. On Friday, we've got the number one Lucha Libre show on the U.S. charts, Lucha Central Weekly, and the number one show wrestling-related, period, on the Mexico iTunes wrestling charts, Lucha Central Weekly en Español. With Lucha Libre slowly returning to Mexico and shows this past weekend from both DTU and IWRG, plus luchadores all over WWE programming these days, we've got two packed shows for you. Be sure to subscribe and follow all of your favorite Lucha Central Network series on your favorite podcast platforms. And please be sure to give a rating and review to help more fans find the shows that you love. For now, this is Denise Salcedo signing off from Lucha Central Central. Have a great week.
Man, that Lucha Central's got a heck of a lineup. I mean, we're talking number one shows. You know what I'm talking about? But real quick for the people listeners, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss with Favi Chulo. I got Rachel Ann hanging with me. Get ready to call Joey Chaos and talk a little bit about the XPW days, as you heard in that commercial. Been in the business for a long time, so let's give him a quick call. Hopefully he's going to pick up. You know, Rachel, when you have this time slot, a lot of times people are training or whatever, and they kind of forget.
Oh, definitely.
Not even lit up on my thing here. Oh, there he is. All right, doesn't look like he's at the phone. I shot him a text and told him that we were calling. So hopefully he's going to get that text. But hey, Joey, if you're listening, if you can, you could use the guest call in. If anybody else wants to call in and talk, because it looks like we might have a little bit of time right now, you can call 323-870-3387. Again, if you want to call in and talk, it's 323-870-3387. We'll give him another call in a minute just to make sure that he's – you know, I don't know. Hopefully, honestly, with all this COVID and everything, I don't know what he could be doing unless he just either forgot or whatever. But we talked about it and told him we were going to have him on. So I'll give him a call. in another second. But since we got Rachel Ann on the line, we're talking a little bit about Muay Thai in the beginning. And I'm going to pose this question to Ed Sorres when we get him on here, who is the CEO of Legacy Fighting Alliance, which was huge. You know, they had Access TV deal, and then that kind of fell by the wayside, so they're on the UFC Fight Pass now. But Rachel, real quick, did you get a chance to watch the fights this last weekend, the Cynthia Galvillo?
You know, this weekend was actually my daughter's birthday on Saturday, but you know I had to play the fights, though.
Right,
so
right.
Between barbecuing and coming inside the house, yeah, I watched the fights. I never miss them. Me and my husband are huge enthusiasts, and we always like to keep up to date.
For sure. Well, let me tell you something. I've been doing this for a long time. Been to many fights, many. To me, I was constantly saying that I think that UFC cage is way too big. It's huge. When you can turn your back and literally run, hold on one second here. God darn it. So hold on one second.
Yeah, no problem.
Sorry about that. Hey, Joey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. How are you, Bobby?
I'm good, man. Hold on one second here, real quick, for the people listening. Just you're here. You're at WrestleBots with Bobby Chulo. I have Rachel Ann with me. We'll get back to that, Rachel, because there's a couple questions I want to talk to you about that. But on the line with us right now, a good friend of the show. This is, you know, even though he's younger than me, this is somebody that I look up to, because he's got there's a specific mindset that we have in the world of wrestling. But join us right now, Joey Chaos. Joey, I got a co-host with me today. Her name is Rachel Ann. So real quick, Rachel Ann, say hi to Joey Chaos.
Hi, Joey. How's it going? We finally got
good.
You.
Good. How are you doing? Thank you for having me, Rachel. Thank you for having me, Bobby. I really appreciate it.
Well, let me tell you something. Both of us know Kevin Kleinrock. And, you know, both of us have been in this business for a long time, and there's a lot of really cool people, and there's a lot of people who just don't care, and they just want to make money and promoters. But Kevin Kleinrock is one of those people that truly, you know, he cares about the business, and he really looks, you know, to keep it going. So, you know, Joey was in XPW before I was. But real quick before we get to that, you know, as I put out there, Joey, when we had you advertise that you were going to come on, I mean, 2020 itself has been horrible, but it's been extra super hard on you, because not only, you know, the passing of Lester, who was, you know, great friend to me, another guy that we just had fun, you know, and all that, and then the closing of Santino Brothers because of this whole COVID thing and all that. So right now, real quick for the people listening to us on WrestleBoss, how are you feeling right about now? How's everything going?
Well, you know, 2020 has been awful for a lot of people, not just myself. But, you know, speaking of Kevin Kleinrock and Supreme, you know, Kevin has been amazing, you know, and helping, you know, get some funds together, T-shirts, all these memorial items. He's came up with a couple of T-shirts, masks, Supreme, and a pin. And he's just been an incredible help on, you know, for me and for everybody, for all the family. Really helping out Supreme. And, you know, that, you know, closing the school was, you know, a decision that we made. But just really the blow of Supreme passing last month on May 6th was just, it was just an incredible blow to me. Because that's, you know, that's my hero. That's my uncle. And we had a falling out, you know, in wrestling and in life. And we were able to reconnect for the last 3 years. And then really this last year of me and Supreme, you know, he would come every Friday to help train some of the students. And, you know, it was just really special, you know, because you just never know. You know, you just never know. And one of my biggest things was just I really thought, like, I had more time, you know, with him.
Yeah.
You know, I really thought I'd see him again, you know, and you just never know. And it's just really been hard. You know, cause I really tried to, just really bring him back. We were going to have an angle with him at Santino Brothers. And he was training the guys and just kind of him, you know, he was already doing, agenting at the show in January. So he was just kind of really getting back in the swing of things. And honestly, to me, he was looking a lot better in February, and then he went to the hospital and, you know, and then just his health just deteriorated. And, you know, unfortunately he did pass, and it's just been really hard. Yeah. You know, it's just been so incredibly hard on me and a lot of people, you know.
And it sucks. I mean, there's nothing I could say that would make you feel better or whatever, but it's like I told Sage, hey, you know, you could take solace in the fact that so many people, I mean, just came together and he really touched a lot of people. Let's put it this way. You know, I've been doing this for years. We're going on almost 17 years, and it was, you know, Sergio that got me started into it. And we did like about a third or fourth show out there in that little studio we had over there in Sunset and Hobart when XPW was just really getting off the ground. And that was and still to this day, that was the first time we had an hour show that went over a small studio in Santa Monica, went over the airwaves there, and we had you guys on. It was you, Supreme, and White Trash Johnny Webb, and the people actually called and said, can you please go one more hour? That's how much, you know, people, King of the Death Match and XPW, that's how much they really enjoyed it. And to this day, that's never happened. I've never had anybody call and say, can we go one more hour? And the stories, even still, you know, today, hey, talking about Supreme and even the little stuff, I can't give him any of my chewing tobacco because they'll take the whole bag. And just, you know, it just continually went on and on. And let me tell you something. Kevin Kleinrock is the first person when you tell him, hey, man, we appreciate, he'll go, oh, man, don't put me over. Yeah, I'm, you know, he's so humble. He'll be like, you know, I did it. You know, you could tell that he does it out of, you know, the love for him and stuff like that. So, you know, to Kevin, we appreciate that, man. And, you know, even though it sucks, it's good to see the pro wrestling community as a whole get together. So, you know, we appreciate that. But, you know, I got to tell you, too, you know, that the closing of Santino Brothers, to me, was one that I thought for sure wasn't going to close because it was, you know, riding so high. I mean, you had even opened up another one right next to it to do some private training, or if you wanted to shoot promos or do specific things or whatever. The shows were going really good. My daughter and I went down there to check out when Rocky came down, and I mean, it was huge. So many people, like, you know, that were, you know, Brody King going to Ring of Honor and every just people going everywhere. So real quick for the people that are listening to us, I want to talk a little bit about XPW because there's so much that I want to talk to you about that, which I know Joey's like, I know, man, we've got to talk about some things. But real quick, because a lot of people have been asking me, when I advertised that we were going to have you on here, they say, hey, do you know what's going to happen with it or whatever? I said, well, we'll have to ask him himself because there's a lot of people that still want to train. So what are the plans for the future? Just going to wait, kind of see what happens and get stuff together or what's been going on so far?
Yeah, you know, like I've been, you know, I do these Zoom classes every week with my students twice a week. And, you know, we always talk about, you know, the comeback, right? We're taking the heat right now. And so we're getting ready for the comeback. And just looking at buildings right now, you know, we're really optimistic and looking forward to fall 2020 is the idea. Yeah. But, you know, we're monitoring, you know, the whole COVID situation. With everything that's going on, you know, I totally see everything opening up. I see a lot of schools opening up. But at the same time, you know, I'm also monitoring the numbers with COVID and how it's actually worse than when we closed down back in March. And, you know, how the numbers are actually going up right now. So, you know, there's a lot of things to think about. Like, I you know, we talked to about, like, taking calculated risk, how we can do it. You know, we've already, you know, a lot of people say, hey, you know, we're going to, you know, clean after every training session. You know, we're already doing that at Santino Brothers. You know, stuff that I had thought about doing was obviously shrinking down classes, you know, 6 to 8 people in a class, you know, doing a check-in log, a sign-in log, you know, stuff like that, obviously temperature checks. And I think, you know, especially since we're in California right now, you know, they're offering, you know, the governor's offering, you know, free tests. And, you know, I talked to some of the guys, and they've been able to get their test by just making an appointment and getting it within 20 to 30 minutes, or at least taking the test in 20 to 30 minutes. You know, it's just, you know, at least something like that. Hey, maybe once every 2 weeks, once every month, you got to take a test. You know, obviously, you know how it happens with the test. You can take a test today and, you know, go to the grocery store and get it.
Exactly. And you don't want to open up and then just have to close right back down again, right?
Yeah, because we can monitor a lot of schools and see how they're doing, even for 6 months, and say, hey, this school had no problem. You know, we can open up, and the first week we can have a problem. You know, with that, that's the way COVID doesn't really, you know, it doesn't work that way. It's like, oh, you've been open for 6 months and they're okay. You can have a problem the first day. You know, so COVID is going to be here to stay. You know, it's not ever really going to go away. You know, hopefully we're going to get a vaccine, but I think it's going to come a time where just we're going to have to be careful on, you know, reopening, you know. So we're optimistic about opening up this fall. Worst case scenario, you know, we're off, you know, it's going to be, you know, January 2021. And that's just with an obvious worst case scenario. I don't know what the economy and everything, if the government's willing to close down again the way they did. So I think we maybe just have to work in parameters. But when they talk about like social distancing and everything, man, wrestling is, you could do drills, you know, we could do drop down, leapfrog, back roll, stuff like that. We can do rolls and stuff.
Yeah.
And it comes a time where we're going to have to lock up, and there is no social distancing. We're grabbing each other, we're wrestling each other, we're in the, pretty much the closest contact that you can have. So, you know, I'm really looking at that, and really when it comes down to it, I'm just, you know, looking at, you know, all the responsibility that I have for all of my students. You know, if it was just me going to train personally as a wrestler, I'd probably go out there and do it and just do what I got to do. Maybe I'll train in a mask or whatever, take that risk.
Yeah.
But opening the school is like, I'm responsible for every single one of the students. So, you know, we're just trying to be proactive. It wasn't a thing of we're closing down because we actually have to at this moment. We just didn't want to get caught up where, you know, we're paying, you know, these months of rent, and how long are we going to be closed? So I've already been looking at buildings, and, you know, things look promising because of, like, the things that I get excited about is you've been to the Santino Brothers in Bell Gardens where you hit the ropes and you could hit the wall. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You only cut from the ring one side. So really excited about, you know, looking at bigger buildings, something we can fall out on all sides of the ring. And so I think, and I even told my wife, Sylvia, I said, hey, how come we haven't looked for a building before? Because there's a lot of good buildings out there that have central air conditioning. And I said, that would be such a luxury to have at training and wrestling school. You know, we're definitely also looking for a place that has a shower, you know, so a lot of things like that would make it a lot better for just wrestling school in general. So we're looking at this as, you know, the change is good. You know, change is always, I've always had to be optimistic about change, and it's always ended up being good to me. Just really looking at the positive as opposed to the negative, you know?
And the thing is, Santino Brothers has the reputation. They know if they go there, they're going to get good training. So once you do get a building and all that, they're going to come. It's just a matter of you wanting to do it right. I got to take a quick break. Can you hang on, Joey, for a couple of minutes and come back and talk a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely,
Rachel Ann,
brother.
I want to pose a couple of questions to Rachel Ann because I think we might be able to get her into the pro wrestling business. But we'll be right back with Joey Cass. Hang on, everybody.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to lucha-masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
That's a great segue to come back for the people listeners. You're here. You're at WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo. I got Joey Chaos on the line. And, of course, I got Rachel Ann hanging with me, going to be hanging with me throughout the show. And it's funny because we're talking a little bit about look. Now, I see somebody like Rachel Ann, and she's got a look because she's been training Muay Thai, so she's in shape. She just has a specific look. But, you know, to train people, especially coming from a background like that where you're used to, you know, contact, to switch them over to pro wrestling, which is more where you take care of your opponent, that's why you got to go to Santino Brothers so that you can learn right. Don't want to hurt anybody in that ring, because you hurt somebody, you know, they're not going to make any money. But I got to tell you, Joey, real quick because we're running up against the clock. I say this to Joey all the time because I've been in this business for so long. And it's funny because I tell him all the time, but since we have this program and this is only our second show, which God bless Kevin Kleinmark for giving me a call. But it's funny because, you know, Joey was wrestling, you know, way back in the day, and we were all trying to come up. We're all paying our dues. And then I kind of came apart from him for a while, and he started doing his thing in XPW. So I hadn't seen him in a long time. And then we did a show at the Olympic Auditorium. I was working for Revolution Pro, and Ron Rivera said, "Hey, you want to go do this XPW?" So I'm like, "Yeah, let's go check it out." So I hadn't seen Joe. I didn't see him for the whole show because we were doing a spot where we were out in the crowd. And so, you know, we talked to Pogo, and he's like, "Yeah, you know, they're going to do this, blah, blah, whatever." And I was like, "All right, cool." So we're out in the thing. So we didn't get a chance to see anybody. Well, I did see New Jack throw what's his name off the scaffold, which was the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. But anyways, I thought he was dead, dude. I hadn't seen Joey in a long time. So all of a sudden the music comes out, you know, and it was perfect. So You Want to Be a Rock Star, just the beginning and everything. And Joey comes out, and it was just this whole spectacle. And I've been in the business for all these years, and I started marking out. I'm like, "Dude, this is awesome. This is," it was just such a big change. And, you know, credit to GQ Money. That dude's got a mind for the business. We talk about a mind for the business. So when I saw him, and then they put him up against people who can go. They put him up against Psicosis and Nosawa. And it was just huge. So real quick for the people listening to us on Wrestle Boss with Fabi Chu, talk a little bit about that transition and how that all came about. Because, I mean, you just blew up from there. And even me, who's been in the business for so long, just was marking out because I thought it was one of the greatest spectacles that I'd seen in a long time. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I had it started kind of like with the death match is, and they had everybody's name on the board. And this is the first death match, and my name wasn't on there, and I was like, "Oh man, hey, I really want to wrestle. I don't care. You're not gonna do death matches." And I was like, "I don't care. I just want to wrestle. Like, if I gotta do death matches, I'll do death matches." And so that was kind of like how it was in the beginning, where I'd get kind of lost in the shuffle a little bit. And I actually had a talk with Rob Black, and I told him that specifically, like, "I don't want to get lost in the shuffle. Like, I want to do more. I can do more. You know, you got to give me the chance." And it came down to Billy Messiah saying, you know, "Rob Black's looking for someone that'll bleach his hair." And he goes, and then Messiah threw my name out there, and he goes, "Joey will do it, you know?" And yeah, I had no problem bleaching my hair. I would do anything.
Yeah.
So what I ended up trying to do was, when they told me about the character and what to do with it, I had to get, you know, complete different gear. I got bigger, you know,
yep.
And then changed the whole persona, right, with the colored hair and everything.
Yep.
They gave me an entourage, and to be honest, I didn't even want an entourage at first. I did not want to anyone stealing my shine, but it ended up being like the best thing that I could have, having the entourage, because, you know, company thinks so much of you that they give you all these people, you know, and, you know, so that's kind of how the transition happened. And, you know, obviously Rob Black already had the song in mind, the Rock Superstar, and
he
was big on, Rob Black was big on, the music hits don't just go out there. And he would stand there and say, and I think it ended up being 1:37, and he would go, "Go." And so me and Smiley would go out there with the whole enterprise. And so that was a big thing for Rob Black, was the cues on the music on when to enter. So once he told me that, like, "Oh, well, that's what he wants." And it was kind of like annoying for the fans or even the other wrestlers. It'd be 1:37. Like, that'd be someone's like whole entrance anthem. And that we wouldn't even hit the curtain yet. And, you know, it just really caught on. Really caught on at XPW because of the character. And that's what I always teach my students about. Like, you can be really good at wrestling. And I was really good at wrestling, but I really lacked that character until I made that transition, and really changed a lot up, gear, hair, everything, and that really helped me out. And it was kind of a thing where, I mean, I was still a good wrestler, but I don't think the wrestlers or the fans really cared about what I did as a moves, per se, as they just loved the character and the entourage and everything coming out.
Yeah.
And it was definitely the highlight of my career, one of the highlights of my career, doing the Rock Superstar Chaos and Enterprise and XPW.
And for the people listening to us, you know, you can still get the XPW DVDs, like, I don't know, I even see them like at the used bookstore. I bought a couple from there, and it was just, you got to check it out. It was huge. That whole, a minute and whatever doesn't sound like a long time, but it is. But it was a whole thing, the music, and then it would hit dun 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 dun, and then he'd come out, and it was just when I saw it, I was like, who is the effing genius behind this? Because it was awesome. So it just goes to show, you know, how much you put into it, how things can just change so fast. But real quick, Rachel Ann, do you have the Vice channel on your cable?
I do.
Okay. Did you get to see, they had a special on a wrestler called New Jack, and we've dealt with, I've only got to see him twice when I was working for XPW, two times.
Uh-huh.
And this dude is crazy. So I know you probably haven't seen it, but you have to see
it. No,
this.
I haven't. Fill me in.
It's a special on Vice Channel. The name escapes me right now, but they show all the different wrestlers, you know, behind the scenes and what got them. There's a wrestler named Vic Grimes, big heavy set dude. They had a scaffold match, and he literally tased Vic Grimes at the top of the scaffold and threw Joey. About how high was that scaffold from the ring?
I want to say 40 feet, but 40 feet doesn't seem like it's a justice, right? Like it seems like it was 70 feet.
40 feet.
Oh,
and
wow.
Joey was in the back. I was out sitting out because, like I said, we did that run in, you know, with Pogo the Clown and stuff. And I went, oh my God. I thought he was. And it, luckily for him, the way he fell, he caught the end of the tables and then he hit the rope and bounced back in. But I mean, it was just I've never seen anything like that before. So you definitely have to check that out. But it was just funny. But it was just a. Just to wrap things up real quick with Joey, it was funny because this is the way Kevin is. Kevin's like, hey, man, I want to give you a good match. You know, for your second match, I'm going to put you against R-Truth, and they're going to be the new Black Panthers and everything like that. And I was like, all right, cool. So this is when cell phones had just first came out. So R-Truth is on the phone talking to somebody, and I think his wife or whatever. And he goes, yeah, he goes, we're just going to run through these punks real quick. I should be home in about 15 minutes. And I said, what? I said, wait a minute. We got a match. So I told Kevin, I said, dude, are we getting squashed? And he's like, no. So he went up to him, and to his credit, he told R-Truth, hey, look, man, these guys are trying to get their names out there. You know, give them a good match. You know, and R-Truth was like, oh, yeah, no problem. And we ended up having a really good match. And the only thing was is they had these, like, they looked like little sandbags, but they were they exploded or whatever. So Kevin kept saying, don't hit those bags, whatever you do, because if you hit those bags, they're going to explode. And I was like, what? So, well, luckily, if you see that match, we had to keep dodging the things because we didn't want to get hit, but we ended up having a good match. Joey Chaos wrestled I can't remember who you wrestled, but you guys took it to the bullpen and you fell in the dirt and jumped off the stage.
That was New Jack.
Hammer.
Was it New Jack? Yeah, I wrestled New Jack. Yeah, that day.
But the thing with New Jack is if you're a wrestler who knows what he's doing or whatever, he's gonna work with you. But if for some reason you rub him wrong, be prepared to get tossed for 40 feet.
Yeah. That's what I tell people. I say, like, hey, man, if you try to go and tell New Jack, hey, I want to do this to you, this to you, this to you, he's probably going to cut you. You know, I remember we were doing this match, and he was like, let's take it home. And we went all the way around the arena brawling and wrestling and everything, and he goes, let's take it home. And I go, no, Jack, you got to hit me in the balls with the crutch. He thought about it for a second, and he goes, what the fuck is this motherfucker telling me to do? And he goes, oh, you want me to do something to you? And he goes, all right, yeah, let's do that. I think he thought for a split second, I was like, I got to get my shit in. He was great to work with. I think people try to probably go into business for themselves, you know. But he was great to work with, man. I really loved him. Yeah. Hey, I told him, hey, you got to do your New Jack shit to me. If I'm wrestling New Jack, you got to hit
gotta
me.
Yeah, got
to
get it
in. The crud. You know?
Yeah. Hey, well, I mean, through the years, it's just been awesome, man. You know, the only thing that sucked is that, you know, XPW kind of fell by the way. So it's funny because the last show, Shane Douglas took over the book. And I'm walking out. It was at the Pico Rivera Sports Arena. And I'm walking out, and I tell him, because Halloween was there, Damien, Psicosis, Juventud, everybody. And I'm like, hey, Shane, I go, you know, I can go with the luchadores, dude, or whatever. And he's like, Fabi, I'm going to look at you, bro. I'm going to look at you. And then just walked away. I'm laughing. I haven't heard of it. But anyways, Joey, hey, man, a million thank yous for coming on. You know, we get Joey Chaos on here. It makes my show legit, you know, so I appreciate you coming on. Look for Santino Brothers to come back. You know, it might not be in the super near future, but he's always working to get it. If you want some good training, you know, better, not a better place to go than Santino Brothers. They're going to, just like we're talking, you know, teach you how to work, teach you how to get over with that crowd. You know, nobody knows more than Joey because he's experienced it. And like I said, I marked out when I saw it because I thought it was awesome. So we definitely look forward to checking out Santino Brothers. If you put Joey Munoz in your little Facebook search engine, he keeps everybody up to date on what's going on over there. So we definitely look forward to checking that out. Hey, man, I got to tell you, Joey, man, I always appreciate you coming on. I know Kevin does too, man, because it was like a family bond back then during the days of XPW and all that stuff. So we appreciate you coming on, and we look forward to the future. Right, my friend?
Oh, I appreciate you having me on so much. Thank you so much, Bobby. Thank you so much.
All right, Joey.
Yeah, for sure. We'll be right back after this. I'm going to talk to Rachel Ann about how they shortened down this cage real quick. Joey Chaos, Joey Munoz, make sure you check him out. We'll be right back.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world, from weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Make sure you use your head. For the people listeners, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss with Fabi Chulo. I got Rachel Ann with me. Real quick before we call Ed Sorres and talk a little bit about LFA and Black House and everything like that. Rachel, the question I wanted to give to you before we got to Ed was...
Yeah.
We've been saying this for years, that I think that cage is way too big. They had to actually use the smaller cage for the last couple of shows because they're at the training center or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And as you see, that's a huge difference. I mean, there was a lot of knockouts. I mean, the first three fights of this weekend lasted under a minute. I mean, three fights in under a minute, they got knocked out. Now, since you saw those fights, would you... To me, I think that made the big difference if the cage was smaller. Did you see that when you saw those fights, or you think it doesn't make a difference?
Oh, 100%. It makes a huge difference. You know, as someone that has fought in both small rings and larger rings, it's like putting, you know, you got to think about the people that are going into these cages. They're fighters, ones that just went through extreme weight cuts, have been training, and, you know, sacrificed so much for the last 3 months or whatever to work towards this fight. And you put them in a... Put two lions in a cage that's small and tight, you're going to see action as opposed to putting them in a huge, you know, so you put them in these tight quarters, you know, it makes for better fights.
Well, I'm going to pose that question to Ed also, because Dana White had the press conference, and I guess he's going back out to this fight island or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he,
oh, yeah.
And what do you call it? He said that it was a 25-foot cage that he was using, but he wants to go back to the 30-foot cage that they had been using since then. Honestly, I wish, like, you ain't gonna tell Dana White to do, but I wish that they would use that smaller cage, and that's nothing. I was talking about this earlier, I think, on the first show, because I worked for King of the Cage for almost 5 years doing the backup announcing for Dean Stone, and they have a travel cage for when they do, like, these ballrooms or whatever on these Indian reservations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that dude, that cage is small. I mean, you turn around and that opponent is right there. So you have to fight. If you know, you can't run or whatever. And I mean, the fights were totally different.
Action-packed, you know.
And even, And even a lot of the judo people, you know, because they would get them up against the cage, dig those hips in, and boom, bacatelas, and, you know, they would take them over. So this is the question I pose to you. Would you prefer to see that cage a little bit smaller, or you think they should go back out to the 30-foot cage?
I think the smaller cage does a lot more for the fights, you know. It's action-packed fights all night long. Like I said, just the mindset you have when you're in a smaller cage, you know, talking from experience, like 100%. If you, for entertainment purposes, definitely should be keeping the smaller cage. But
yeah. Well, you know, then they come out and they say, well, that gives the wrestlers and the jiu-jitsu guys an advantage and all that. To me, I don't think it does. I think it's a lot more action or whatever. So maybe
at the
when
end of
they
the
do
day,
go back out.
Mixed martial arts.
Right.
Everyone has to be versatile.
Well, hopefully when they do go to Fight Island for these next fights that are coming up and have the bigger cage, we'll kind of see. I think maybe we might be able to see the difference in the cage or whatever. Let me go ahead and give Ed Sordas a call.
Yep.
Talk to him. I'm going to pose that question to him or whatever, see if he thinks that it makes a difference. It's funny because Joey was up and I didn't see him on the board before I clicked on him.
Oh.
But I think the number comes up on their phone, so they're able to call back.
Your
sometimes
call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system 310951082.
Trying to kill that before it came on the air. Sorry about that, Ed. For the people listening, if you want to give us a call in, it's 323-870-3387. Ed, if you get that, can you please give us a call at that number that's on your phone? If you're listening, I'll try again later. And hopefully, where's my paperwork right here? Hopefully, Greg, the producer, will cut that out. I was trying to click it off before it got to giving out that number. So when they edit everything up, hopefully Greg DeMarco will quit. But Ed, if you're not, I'm sorry, man. I was trying my hardest to get that off the air. So anyways, hopefully, I'll give him a call in another a few minutes to see if we can get him back on here. Are you at all familiar, Rachel, with Lyoto Machida and the Machida brothers?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The ground game masters.
Yeah, well, and plus his style, before they figured it out, was more like a karate-based style that people had a hard time figuring out. So before I give you another call, I'm tying this all in because I work in Torrance. And it's funny because, you know, I never go out for lunch or whatever, but for some reason I was in a hurry this morning. I'm trying to get all my stuff together. I take off and I forgot lunch and all that stuff. So I said, okay, I'm going to run to Taco Bell real quick at lunchtime because it's just down the street. So I go the back way, which I never go, and almost directly on the other block is the Machida Brothers studio, the karate studio or dojo or whatever you want to call it. And I'm like, oh my God, it's right there. So I see Chenzo, the brother, and I honk, and I'm like, hey, what's up? And he kind of gave me a look like, the hell is this guy? But I didn't have time to stop or whatever. So it's funny because, you know, for the people listening to us here on WrestleBoss, I'm going to give Ed Sordas a call back in just a few minutes. But for the people listening to us, I got Rachel Ann with me, and I'm going to run a couple of things by her who, you know, she's a Muay Thai fighter. She's been in there. She's got the experience. She knows what it's like to get kicked. This is why we posed it to her. But you know, I was looking for Tap Out for 7 years, and after we left Tap Out, Ed Sordas said, hey man, I got Sinister Brand, why don't you guys come over here? So we worked for him for about a year. So we would go to Black House. This is when Black House was first, you know, he just opened the gym, and he was private, and he had just specific people working out, Anderson Silva and all them. So we went over there. And we were talking because we were going to go, I think we were going to go do a live broadcast from like a Kmart because Sinister was going to start being in Kmart. So we're talking and he goes, oh, here comes Lyoto. He was getting ready to fight. I don't think it was John Jones. He was getting ready to fight somebody. So this little black Honda pulls up and I say, and what do you call it? TV does Lyoto no justice. That's a big dude. He's super tall and he's big. So he's driving. His brother's in the passenger side, and his dad and his uncle are in the back seat. This is like a little two-door black Honda. They get out, and Ed goes, hey, there he is right there. And I'm like, oh, you know, I don't want to say starstruck, but it's just cool when they come out because you see him, and that was the first time I met him, and it was pretty cool. So he gets out. His brother gets out. They flip the seats. The dad gets out, and the uncle gets out. So the dad gets out, and he's got a blue gi that looks like it's about 100 years old. Like, you could tell that he's been training in it forever. Black belt on, all tight, you know, all tattered and everything. And then they had those chanclas on that are like wood, those hard wood sandals or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, dang, I'm like, these dudes are the real deal, man.
I know.
So they,
I can imagine.
And they come walking towards me. And Ed goes and tells Lyoto, hey, this is Fabiano. And, hey, how you doing, man? They're real, real nice. So he tells the dad in Portuguese, I didn't understand what they were saying, but he says, you know, blah, 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 Fabiano. And the dad puts his hand up, and I shook his hand, and it was like, you remember Barney Rubble from the Flintstones? He was like short, stocky with these big, I mean, his hands were like rocks. And I shook his hand, and I stepped back, and he tells him something again in Portuguese. And he like nods at him, and he opens up his gi. So he had to be, I would say, maybe mid-60s or so. I'm taking a guess. But, I mean, ripped. You should have seen, I mean, abs. He had like an 8-pack, but not like skinny. I mean, he was just, you know, all todo garrote, like stocky, but his abs were like that. And I looked,
yeah.
I stepped back, and I shook his hand again. I was like, man, this dude. So they walked off. They, I
oh,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, not. I knocked my mic off because I was so enamored. But they walked off, you know, and I'm like standing there in awe. And Ed goes, that's why they're so successful. He goes, the dad just, you know, he makes their meals. He does everything for him. So, I mean, I was like totally impressed or whatever. I thought that was pretty cool. So anyways, I'm just, the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, when you come from a lineage like that or whatever, and Ed was saying, let me tell you something. I've been to the house. He goes, and it is spotless. He goes, I mean, it is just super clean. I mean, everything's in order. It's just amazing. And he said, it's the same way with the dojo. I mean, all the students come and they clean before they work out, and they clean everything up after they work out. So it's like a lifestyle or whatever. So
yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool, you know, meeting them there.
Yeah,
and it's funny.
Destined for greatness.
Yeah, and it's funny that they opened up right there. So, hey, all that being said, let me put this out there to Lyoto Machida and Chenzo and all them. We would love to come and do a live broadcast from your dojo. I mean, even if we have to be outside, that's fine. We have easy ups, so we're cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I would really like to go there and talk to them about that. So, Rachel, would you be down to come down and do some live stuff over there at the
Machida? Oh, yeah, 100%. Let's do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm 100%. Talking about. Well, let me take a quick break. I'll give Ed another call. Hopefully he's there. So I'm going to take one real short break, and then we'll be right back with Rachel Lamb, right back after this.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Yeah, gotta love that Lucha Central, man. They got so much going on, and it's not like it's easy. I mean, Kevin Kleinrock is probably one of the hardest working people that I've ever known. I mean, talk about 100, and he's like I said when we were talking to Joey Chaos, he's the first one to go, oh, no, don't put me over, man. I'm good. So God bless you, Kevin Kleinrock, because that guy, you want to talk about a full plate? I mean, that guy's got a full plate, and he's constantly working. So let's try Ed. We'll try Ed Sordas one more time. I know he's busy. Or whatever, so hopefully he'll pick up on this one and we'll be able to talk a little bit about that. If not, Rachel, we'll do some news and then we'll be good to go.
All right, sounds good.
One of these days I'm going to learn how to do the board so that I can just put them on mute and you don't have to hear the ringing, but I'm still getting acclimated to my surroundings here.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system 31095.
Hey! Okay, I got it that time. Before it got all the way up. So, anyways, Ed, if you're listening, man, I got that one. I got cut off, so we're okay. Anybody else, if you want to call in, hey, you got some questions, we're going to start doing the news now with Rachel Ann. If you want to call in, it's area code 323-870-3387. Again, that's 323 870-338-7. When we did the premiere show, which was on a Wednesday, I had a few people calling, but, you know, I had so much going on, I wasn't able to get to them. So, oh, he says he's ready. Didn't hear his phone. Let's try again. Watch him go, mm-hmm. Hey, I'll put my number out there on the thing. Because you'll start getting calls left and right, and then I'll be in big trouble.
I know.
Okay. Hopefully he's going to pick up this time.
Hello?
Hey, Ed, it's Fabiano. You're live on Wrestle Boss with Favi Chula. Can you hear me, my friend?
What's up, man? How are you?
Edward, I'm doing good. For the people listening, so you're here. You're at Wrestle Boss with Favi Chula, and we're going to be talking to Ed Sorres. I got Rachel Ann sitting with me. She's been co-hosting this this episode, for lack of a better term, and been doing a great job. Real quick, Rachel, say hi to Ed Sorres.
Hey, Ed. How's it going? Glad to get you on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You know, Ed, I've been doing this for so long. And, you know, first of all, it was Maestro and I, two Mexicans on the radio. And, you know, he decided to get a real job and stuff like that. So we split up a while back. So, you know, then I was explaining how, you know, I worked for Tap Out. Then I went to work for you for a year with Sinister Clothing. And then On the Mat picked us up for 7 years. And then when all this COVID hit, you know, it went. So Lucha Central picked it up. And they said, hey, you know, if you can get a co-host, female co-host, you know, it helps for the demographic. So I got Rachel. She trains at what used to be Shoot the Box, which is now Fight Solutions and all that. So it's good to have somebody on that I can bounce stuff off of. But real quick, Ed, I want to talk about LFA, but I have to tell you, before when we were trying to get you on here, I was telling Rachel about the story at Black House when Lyoto came to train. And you introduced me to Lyoto's father. And I was saying, man, you know, that how impressed I was with the type of shape that he was in. And you were telling me, hey, man, that's their lifestyle. You know, that's how they roll or whatever. So you remember that day when you introduced me to him? And I was like, I don't want to say I was in awe.
I totally remember that day. You guys were just hanging out down there and training with his father. I do remember that day.
Yeah, and they got out of that little black Honda. And I was impressed that Chenzo himself and the dad and the uncle all fit in that Honda. But what I was saying was, you know, because I work in Torrance and I went to lunch. I never go out for lunch, but I went to lunch and their new karate dojo or whatever is right behind where I work. So I saw Chenzo.
That place is awesome. Did you stop by there at all? Did you go inside?
Well, you know what? I was coming back from lunch. And Chenzo was getting in the Honda, and I honked. I'm like, hey, what's up? And he kind of looked like, there's this guy. So I'm definitely going to go back and check it out. We got to do a live broadcast from there so we can get that out to the people, because that was huge. That was awesome. But
It's a beautiful gym there. Beautiful.
Yeah, and a nice area. But you know what? Again, it's literally about half a block away from Fantastic Burger. So you know what that means.
It is.
You're going to have to go hit up that. Hey, I'll tell you
what. You go work out and then go grab a burger on the way home.
Absolutely. If we go down there and you come down, it's on me this time, because Ed's always taking care of us or whatever. So I owe him a burger over there. But anyways, Ed, this COVID's been killing people, you know, and LFA was you know, rolling, you know, went to UFC Fight Pass and everything. So real quick before we get into talking a little bit about bringing that back. So exactly when all this comes out, because I know you had to, I think, three shows that you guys had to cancel and everything. So do you just kind of shut everything down and go home and quarantine? Or did you go to Black House in your office and just try to figure out what you were going to do?
No, I mean, actually, this whole thing, you know, I felt like the whole world kind of stopped a little bit. And
sure did.
You know, it took a lot longer than, you know, it took a lot longer than, you know, I would have never imagined that I would have been 3 months kind of just stopping everything. But at the end of the day, you know, I really did make the best of it. And there was a lot of great things that I discovered from staying home, as far as that's just like, you know, this is in 20 years, this is the longest I've never had to not travel. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm traveling at, you know, every week almost I'm traveling at, or at least every other week for sure. And this was in a nice time to just kind of, I hate to say it, but I mean, it's horrible. Everything that happened was horrible, that everyone passed through was horrible. All the, you know, the thing that happened with, you know, with all the protests and all that. And it was just one thing after the other. But at the end, I just hope that I feel the world is going to come out hopefully a better place, and I hopefully people are going to have a lot more gratitude for the things that they used to take for granted.
Oh, I agree 100%. But I was telling Rachel Ann, you know, people don't get to see that. All they see is the finished product. They don't see, you know, the weigh-ins and the contracts. But let me tell you, we went to one show when you had it at the OC Hangar. And I mean,
yes.
First of all, we didn't see Ed all night. He was running around and it was like, hey, Ed, hey, I got to go. And he kept, and even after the show was over, you know, he's still, you know, counting the receipts, making sure that the commission got paid and making sure. I mean, it's just a whole that you don't just go and watch the fights. You know, you have so much that you have to do. So, like you said, it was kind of good that you got to take, you know, a little bit of a break and kind of relax and reset and get ready for next. So you guys have already been cleared. You're coming back on July 10th, right?
Yeah, we're going to be coming back on July 10th. And, you know, we've got a lot of we're going to be doing four shows, so that's exciting. We're going to be doing four shows next month, so I'm excited about that. We've got a lot of stuff coming out, you know, a lot of interesting news on the fights. We're going to have some title fights. We're going to have we got a lot that you know is going to be coming out tomorrow. So, you know, we're going to announce the fights. We're going to announce who they are, but it's going to be some great fights, and we've got some great cards. And I'm just happy to say that the LFA is going to be back, and not only are we going to be back, but we're taking all the right steps because we wanted to make sure, you know, the safe fighters and the safety of our staff and everyone involved is super important. And the other thing was important is that, you know, obviously we're not going to be, we're doing it without audience. So, but
yeah.
You know, the one thing that I wanted to make sure of is that the quality of our product is not going to suffer. And that was one of the things that, we had to take a little bit of time. It was, you know, the quality of our product and also the safety, the safety of everybody. So those are the two things that were really important to me. And as always, we're always putting on great fights. So I figure that's just expected, and that's what we expect from ourselves. But those other two things were two big hurdles that we had to get over, and we figured it out, and we're ready to go.
Yeah, and it's funny because I follow Ed all the time because he's always putting up a lot of helpful information and keeping everybody up to date, you know, with what's going on. But he talked a little bit about the arena. Like, it's weird because just like with the UFC and Dana, he's got that one spot where he does his shows and, you know, he has to fly everybody in and or whatever. And it's easier in one sense because you're just there and you're ready to go. But it makes a big difference when you actually travel, because when you go to somebody's hometown or whatever, a lot of times you have the hometown boy and you get more people that way. Can you expand on that a little bit? I mean, does it really make a huge difference as far as being like that?
Well, of course it means. I mean, the sad part about it for our business is that, you know, we're very fortunate and we've busted our ass to get to where we're at. And we have a great distribution deal. And we have a distribution deal with UFC Fight Pass, which has been an incredible partner. And the only thing I wish is I wish we would have maybe been there earlier, you know what I mean? Because they've been such a great injection of marketing, and it's just a great partnership to be able to watch the UFC. And we develop so many developed fighters for the UFC, and we develop so many for them that it's awesome to be watching the UFC and seeing a lot of LFA content during the UFC broadcast. And that's always something that we're very, very proud of. But as you were talking about, you know, not having crowds there, yes, that's a revenue stream that's not there anymore. But the beauty of it is that, you know, we're very blessed and grateful to be with someone like UFC Fight Pass, where we still have a distribution deal, we still have sponsors, and we still have international distribution of our content throughout the world. So fortunately for us, we have some other revenue streams that, of course, the ticket money is something we rely on or something that we'd like to have. But, it's, you know, we're still able to do the shows without cutting any, you know, I'm not going to say without cutting any corners. But, yeah, you know, we have to really sharpen the pencil. And like I said, I'm happy to say that we're going to be back doing shows once again with safety, and the quality of the product is not going to, you know, go down one bit.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, I live to watch the Dana White press conference because, you know, the way the dude is just 100. And it was kind of funny. He said, you know, this is the only game in town. He goes, and because they were saying, well, you know, Masvidal wants more money, and Conor wants this and that. And he goes, you know what? We're the only, you don't have to fight. He goes, this is not like football where I say, you have to be in training camp. And yet, if you don't want to fight, we're not going to make you fight. He said, but right now,
right.
Since this is the only game in town, look how much exposure these guys are getting. There's no football. There's no basketball. He said, I have a Twitter little thing back here that I do live, and it's got 7 million views. You know, so it would behoove
right.
these guys to come and fight right now because you're going to get a lot of exposure. So to me, it seems like he kind of set the bar, and now LFA's coming back. They're going to start getting a lot more exposure too because people are going to say, hey, man, LFA's, let's get back to watching it. And it seems like, well, especially with somebody like Ed who gets a lot of respect, they're not going to, you know, disrespect you and say, I'm fighting because of this or that or whatever. But when you put a card together like that, is it like the younger, hungrier fighters that are looking to get those fights, or how does all that work into this perspective?
Well, that's why I feel that our fights are always so exciting. Is because everybody that's fighting for us is trying to make a name for themselves, so they're going out there and leaving it, putting it all on the line because. That, you know, the difference of them, you know, getting an incredible finish or an incredible knockout, an incredible submission, whatever they may do, they're going to be, they know that people are going to be watching, and it's their chance, you know, there's their stage, it's their chance to perform. So I feel that our fights end up being very, very exciting. And I would say that even watching our fights, a lot of people love watching our fights because the guys always come out there and put it all on the line because they want to get noticed. They want to be that person that is going to get the next phone call up to the big leagues.
Yeah.
So we're not dealing with some of the adversities of the UFC of guys saying they want more money. I could tell you right now, nobody's going to get rich, but no one's going to get rich fighting for the LFA, dude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that's not what we do. What we try to do is we try to create an organization where guys can truly develop and not only just develop as fighters inside the octagon, but also develop on the other side of the fight business, which is learning how to do interviews and doing radio shows. Like we prepare these guys. So when they get up there and they go out there and perform so well in the UFC and they get a microphone shoved in their face, they know how to react and it's not new to them because they've done that already. And I think that's important. I think it's really important for fighters to understand all the different elements that go into being a successful business as a fighter.
Yeah, you know, I agree 100%. And that's what I was talking to Rachel Ann about before you came on, is that to me, somebody like Ed who knows the business, and you have Mark Bieri still with you, right?
Oh, yes, of course. He's our partner. And, he's the partner in the LFA.
And when you put that together, those, you know, with that experience, you know what to look for. And if I put this guy with this guy, it's going to be knocked down, drag out fight. And that product is out there and it's huge. And I think that is what something that makes the difference. You know, guys who know what to look for and all that. That's why LFA is so successful. Well, I agree 100%. You know, those guys are getting the exposure. And like you said, it's not just going out there and fighting. You've got to learn to handle that stuff, like the public and the interviews and stuff like that. So that's what I was talking to Rachel Ann about earlier. You know, you just see the finished product. You get Ed just doesn't go watch the fights. He's got to take care of all that too. So from two people who can appreciate it, you know, we respect that, especially from you. So anyways, Ed, real quick, since we're running up against the clock, you're going to win. So did you say when you're going to announce the next fight or whatever?
We're like I said, we're going to be doing 4 shows in July where, we're going to be announcing all the fights and all the everything that's going on, but it's going to be really exciting. We've got some title fights, and tomorrow we're going to be announcing everything to the media. So, you know, we're letting everybody know that we've got, we're going to be doing 4 shows in July so people can be prepared to see a lot of LFA. But like I said, you know, we're just proud to be back and putting on that, putting on that great, the great fights for people to enjoy.
Yeah. But you know, the people know if they put down their hard earned money to go to a live event or to check it out at UFC Fight Pass, they know it's going to deliver because, you know, they know what they're doing over there at LFA. I got to tell you, I thought I was done, you know, especially after. And I feel bad because, well, let me tell you, with Scotty Nelson building hospitals, you know, I'm sure that's a top priority. But when we talked, you know, and he said, hey, I'm sorry, you know, or whatever. And I thought that was it. I said, you know what, I'm just going to retire. But then, you know, like they say, when one door closes, another one opens. So we're opening up to a whole new audience, you know, and all that. So I think it's just going to keep, even though 2020 sucked so far, I think it's going to get better, and I think we're going to keep moving upward. So we definitely look forward to checking out LFA. Ed, if you want to check him out, just put Ed Suarez in your little search engine, and it's Ed Blackhouse too, right, for your other social media?
Yeah, Ed Blackhouse is on all my social media. It's Ed Blackhouse. Yes, it is, man.
Okay, so make sure you check him out on there. He keeps everybody up to date. We definitely look forward to that next LFA fighting. And I look forward to going down to Lyoto's place and checking that out. And if Ed can get down there, it lunches on me. I'm telling you, man.
Thank you.
For sure. We just
anytime,
need to have so
man.
Much fun.
Just let me know. Just let me know when you're going down there, man. I'll meet you down there anytime.
Absolutely, and nothing for nothing, but the best part of going to Black House is that place. They have a hell of a breakfast over there, man. That was the best part.
Yeah.
Checking it out. All right, Ed. We'll talk to you soon. Hey, man, I appreciate you coming on.
Anytime. All right, man. My pleasure, man.
It legitimizes the show. So we'll talk to you soon. Ed Soares, everybody. Make sure you check him out. We'll be right back after this.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to lucha-masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network, and now, WrestleBots with Bobby Chulo.
Hey, you know, I'm over here talking up a storm, and I didn't even ask if Rachel Ann had a question for Ed Soares, so I apologize for that, Rachel Ann, but once I get going, you know what I mean? It gets crazy.
No worries. I enjoyed listening to you guys, man, and, you know, excited to see that there's a lot of fights coming in the near future, you know, locally. Yeah. And I missed the scene, you know.
Well, as you know, there's talking about this COVID and everything, there's nothing like going to a live fight. I mean, when the fights are live, it's a whole different ballgame. And then if there's actually somebody that you know that's fighting, it takes on a whole new thing, man, when you go check
Definitely.
It out. So, hopefully, if everything works out and we can bring you on, we can start doing some live events, start heading out to some of these events and bringing, you know, the people, the live stuff. And getting it from that perspective or whatever. So real quick for the people listening, you're here, you're at WrestleBots with Fabi Chulo. I got Rachel Ann with me. Just got finished talking to Ed Soares from LFA, talking a little bit about bringing LFA back. They're going to be on UFC Fight Pass. You know, he keeps everybody up to date. I'll keep everybody up to date here as well, so you can go check it out. So got a few minutes left, so a good thing for me. You know, I have Rachel Ann, so we can bounce a few things off her, because we were talking a little bit earlier about the fights that happened this weekend. One thing I wanted to talk to Rachel Ann about, and let me put it this way. I want to talk about weight cuts, because there was a few people who missed weight at this last fight. But I've always been into female bodybuilding. And I was like, man, that's so awesome. I don't know how they can get their physiques like that and all that. And I'm not going to mention her name, but I had a specific person that said, well, I'm going to take you to a show and you're going to see how different it is over there. And I'm like, all right, you know, sweet, let's go. So we went, and I was backstage, and the BO and farts and everything was back there. And I was like, because she's like, I'm telling you.
And this is at a bodybuilding
Yes. I'm trying to tell you, it's not what it's all cracked up to be. They're trying to get the water out of
themselves.
It never
is, man. It never is.
So that too. We used to have a girl named Maria Rios that used to come on with us too. She used to fight. As a matter of fact, she fought for LFA when it was Resurrection Fighting Alliance. That's why we were at the hangar. We went to go see her fight. And she said, you know, she was cutting weight and all that stuff, and you know, I'm like, oh my God, you know, she's going to die or whatever. But real quick, you know, now real quick before we get into this, have you had to cut a lot of weight for a fight before? I mean, okay, if you got to cut a couple, you know, let's say 8 to 10 pounds,
that.
That's quite a bit. But there's people that have to cut 20 pounds within like 3 or 4 days. I mean, first of all, has that ever happened to you? Or have you seen somebody that's done that? Or what's the most you've had to cut?
My cuts usually range between about 8 pounds, and they've gone all the way up to about 13, 14 pounds. And that's usually because the excess weight that's dropped, like as you're going through, you'll get the weight cut, and it's like, oh man, I lost 3 pounds easy after I've been struggling all night, you know. But it gets pretty extreme. I know my weight cuts are one of my major motivations when I'm in the ring, and what I think about to get me going, you know. Like you said, it's not all pretty pictures and butterflies, you know, in the fight game. It's like you get, when you win, I was just talking to my husband about this, like when you win, the moment that they call your name, you reflect on your weight cut, your training, you reflect on everything. And,
right,
you know, that's what you're thinking about when you win. When you lose, the first thing you think about is your weight cut and your training. So
yeah,
so definitely a major aspect of the fight game. And, you know, it's a wild lifestyle, and you know, I love it. I wouldn't change it for the world. Well, you know.
And when you talk about like your husband who actually trains and all that, does it help you that he's there with you through the wake, or do you like, you know what, I don't want to talk to anybody right now, I don't even want to deal with you right now?
Husband is my biggest support, and he is so understanding. And every time before my weight cuts, I apologize beforehand. You know, I apologize for anything that happens within the next 24 hours. Oh, 100%. He's a major fighting enthusiast. I mean, he trains, but moderately. He's not a fighter. So he understands the game. He understands exactly what, you know, all, he sees the sacrifices that I make and all the extra things that I do to put into the game. And, you know, he's my partner for sure. Like, especially for my weight cuts. I always, you know, I talk to some of my teammates even, you know, some of my teammates are single, you know, they're younger. I'm older in the game. And, so a lot of my teammates are younger, you know, they're all single and that's their whole life. And I just think, like, oh, my God, how would I do it without a husband, without my husband? Yeah. Like, I, you know, I have him there changing my blankets or doing whatever I need. So he supports me 100%. And,
well, you know, that's huge, because I've been married for almost 30 years. It's going on 29. And my wife hates wrestling, boxing, MMA, jiu-jitsu, but you know, back then when I was coming up and paying my dues in pro wrestling, like if there was a show on Friday night, you know, and we'd have to get I'd have to get off of work, and I said, can you just please go with me so that we could drive in the carpool lane, because I can't sit in traffic. And you know, she'd have to sit there and wait forever till the show finished and all that, so I could see how she did. So I'm like, all right, cool. But then My daughter, who's 25, she got bit by the bug a couple of years ago.
Oh, wow.
One promoter said, hey, why don't you have your daughter bring out the flag, the Mexican flag or whatever? And she was just over like Rover. I mean, merchandise started selling. So then, you know what, we had to take her to training. She had to learn to bump and all that stuff. And I said, well, look, you know, if she's going to do this, I have to help her train. I don't want her to go through what I did or whatever. So you know, you never know what's going to happen. So now my wife has a double whammy. Not only am I still with
you,
now my daughter's
both of you guys, huh?
Yeah, so she's getting it from both ends. But
to
me, you know, real quick, I'm sorry, for the people listening, you're here, you're at Wrestle Boss with Fabi Chulo. I'm talking to Rachel Ann, talking a little bit about weight cutting and stuff like that. But Jessica, I missed weight. And what I'm saying is, Cynthia Calvillo said, you know, there's no way she was 0.25 over. She said her corner men told me she's over, you know, and they didn't say that, oh, she's just going to be a little bit. They're like, man, she's over. But what they said, have you seen that thing that they have that they pull up when you have to take your clothes off? It's almost like a big shower curtain ring thing or whatever. Well, they said she kind of held on to that, and that it got her to the 0.25. So to me, that's cheating. Cynthia Gavir was saying, I fought a bantamweight. You know, I know she was way over than that. So the point I'm trying to make to you, and I'll pose this to Rachel Ann, Chael Sonnen says, I cannot fathom or understand why people would kill themselves to get to that weight. If I'm not at 185, I'm just going to fight at 205. I'm not going to kill myself to get there or whatever. So give us your take on that. Do you think, hey man, especially nowadays, people are getting title fights with 2 weeks notice. So if you're a young fighter, it would behoove you to stay within a couple of, you know, maybe 5-6 pounds, because you never know when you're going to get that call, right?
100%. It's important to maintain your weight even when you don't have a fight scheduled, because in the event that you do get, you know, I had a 3 week notice fight in February, and I had to drop about 7 pounds within 3 weeks, and then cut an additional 10 to 12. And, you know, it was tough, but it takes a lot of commitment and a lot of willpower. So it's basically how bad you want it, you know. So as far as like staying at that weight class or going up, I think it just really depends on the fighter, where they fight better at, you know. For me personally, I feel that I'm good at 125. When I first started, I was fighting at 132, which is pretty heavy. And now I look at those girls and I'm like, whoa, they're pretty big, like, for me to be fighting, you know.
Yeah.
But I think the weight cut is the fight before the fight, you know. And if, like I said, the majority of it is willpower and mindset. And, you know, if you don't make that weight cut, your mind is already halfway gone. You know, you lost half the fight already.
Yeah.
And that's where you go into the fight with that mentality. So you either have to be like way committed to be able to make that weight, or, if you can't make that weight, you know your body. Most people know their body, and they know if they can make that weight or not. And, you know, they need to just make the best decisions, because you already are, you can anticipate losing a fight already if you miss weight.
Well, we're Mexican. You know, I like, you know, tacos de carnitas and, you know, tortas de carne asada and all that. So when Sergio and I, who was my radio partner for years, when we started training jiu-jitsu, and we started really starting to learn, and Dello taught us a lot, man. I mean, just in the short time that we trained with him and everything, and he said, well, you know, you need to go compete at Grappler's Quest because you have to test your skills, you know. You're not just training to train. So I've always competed at heavyweight, just, you know, we're Mexican.
Uh-huh.
My, my partner Sergio, he had to take it one step further and weigh in with the Slurpee from 7-Eleven and like Ding Dongs or whatever.
Oh, wow.
And that was back when we had MySpace back then. That's how long ago that was.
Oh, man.
And I swear, we came back and Dello goes, if I ever see you do that, I swear to God, because I'm going to make you go 6 rounds with black belts. And you'll never do that again. You know, because he said, you're not taking it serious. It's not funny, you know, if you're going to compete or whatever. So he learned a hard lesson on that day or whatever. But anyways.
I definitely can relate. I mean, my coach would not be having any of that.
Yeah.
You know, Durson, like you said, he would not be having that.
And he practices what he preaches. I mean, if you're a big old heavyweight dude with your belly hanging over, he's gonna be like, how can you take me serious? But that dude is in shape, and you know, he just doesn't mess around. So it's huge. But anyways, Rachel, I gotta tell you, I appreciate you coming on. And it's true. It's good to have somebody to bounce some stuff off or whatever, especially somebody like Rachel who's been, you know, in the game and knows what it's like to train, knows what it's like to weight cut, you know, and all that stuff. So I appreciate you coming on. I got a couple of more people that are going to come on and for lack of a better term, try out or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's cool. I think we got something here. It's good to have somebody.
Definitely, man. Keep in touch. And, you know, I had a great time today. Thank you for having me on. I look forward to.
I think Joey Chaos is going to call me and go, hey, maybe we could get Rachel Ann to do some pro wrestling or whatever. And I'm going to say, well, that's the hardest transition, because it's so different. You know, you're used to putting hands on people, and it's totally different when you become a pro wrestler or whatever. But as you get acclimated to the pro wrestling, so you'll kind of see what we're talking about or whatever. So we look forward to that. So real quick, Rachel Ann, can you give out your social media and all that so the people can follow you?
Definitely. If you guys want to check me out on Instagram, it's Miss Gems herself. And Rachel Ann on Facebook. So check me out. Give me a follow. Shoot me a DM. And, we'll keep in touch.
Miss Gems herself. Yeah, I thought that's what it was for your – sorry, I was writing that down. Hey, well, we look forward to, you know, even if things don't work out, which I think they will, getting you back on. And so we can, you know, make sure we have everybody knowing exactly what's going on from somebody who knows. Big thank you to, of course, Joey Chaos, who came in, talked a little bit about XPW and talking about wrestling training and all that. Make sure you check him out. And, of course, Ed Suarez, LFA. Don't forget, they're going to get ready to come back and do that's. That's great fights, man. I'm telling you, Mark Bieri, between all of him and Ed and all that, they put together some slamming fights that are really cool. So make sure you check it out. Hey, real quick, Rachel Ann, before we get out of here, any plans to fight again in the near future, or what's the game plan?
Man, our gym just opened up this week. I'm actually going to go to my first class tonight. And, yeah, I'm always open. So we really don't know. You know, we just got to take it day by day, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about a resurgence of a second wave. So knock on wood, everything works out, you know. But,
yeah,
I'm definitely open to fights in the near future, and I will definitely keep you posted on that.
All right. I think we got to do a live broadcast from Gerson so that way we can get that kick on tape. I'll talk to Luis. I'll say, Luis, take one for the team, my man.
Take it
for me, so. All right, Rachel. Hey, a million thank yous for coming on. I really appreciate it. Hey, big ups to Lucha Central and, of course, Kevin Kleinrod for making this all possible. We'll see everybody here next Tuesday. Make sure you check us out. We'll be back next Tuesday, and we look forward to seeing you.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited luchacentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.